Brother Kajetan, we are having a difficulty to hear you. I don't know if you will try to reconnect your audio. We can't hear you.
Hello?
Hello, Brother Kajetan. Yeah, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Brother Isaac. Brother Isaiah, sorry. I bring to you greetings of love from Nigeria Bible students. My class, Ibadan Bible Student Ecclesia, have extended their greetings. Some of them are here with me. They are participating in this convention via the projector screen that they are viewed now, looking at it, and they are now with all of us in this convention. I wish to thank Ghana Brethren for the privilege given to me to give this discourse. The topic of this discourse is exhortation to obedience. And the question of you, I would like to explain a little bit about what exhortation and obedience means via Webster Dictionary, Merriam-Webster Dictionary. According to the dictionary, exhortation is from the word exhort, which is to cite by argument or advice, urge strongly or encourage. Why obedience is from the word obey, which means to follow the commands or guide of, to conform to or comply with. The question in the mind of why this discourse, exhortation to obedience. It is very necessary for us to note that all our effort in this race we are running, no matter the level of our intelligence, our knowledge of the scriptures, what is going to guarantee us a place in the kingdom or being part of the body of Jesus Christ is our obedience to the laws of righteousness. Anyone who refuses to obey the will of God while running this race is just wasting his or her time. Therefore, we need to encourage ourselves to obey the will of God. Do what God said we should do and avoid those things he said that we should avoid. There's one thing that comes to mind when we are talking about obedience. Generally, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says there, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. This is exactly what entails. Whatever you are doing in the service of the Lord, obedience is very necessary. We have to look at the Daily Heavenly Manna, May 13. The comment says there, our Heavenly Father wishes us to be very attentive to his word and not to think for a moment that we can improve thereon or that times and circumstances will alter the propriety of our obedience to him. Let us hearken to the word of the Lord, and keep close to it, not fearing the results, but having faith that he who keeps us never slumbers nor sleeps, and is too wise to err, as well as competent to meet every emergency that could possibly come upon us as a result of our obedience. Yes, it's very necessary. Our God is able to do all things. If you obey him, which he wants you to do, he is going to complement it by blessing you. Again, in Psalm 37, verse 4, the Bible says there, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself. This is a step further than trusting. I delight to do thy will, O my God. See this in the book of Psalm, chapter 40, verse 8. To delight thus in the Lord is to have the affections centered on him. The heart that is continually looking for divine direction is continually in a prayerful attitude. No other condition is proper to the Christian than to always delight to do the will of God. The desires they mentioned means those desires that are in harmony with the plan of God. Whatever you are desiring must be in accord with the will of God. Otherwise, it will never be granted. Also, I'd like to take us to the hymn of dawn, number 348, Appendix O. In the new hymn, it is number 275A, Trust and Obey. The hymn is a very beautiful hymn. When you sing it, you enjoy the tune, the melody. And it's not only that. When you go through this hymn, if you study it very well and capture the import of the hymn, it is highly inspiring. Let me read the hymn. I'm not going to sing it. It will have been sung before this my discourse, but so far, let me read it to our own hearing. Verse 1 of the hymn says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he shares on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. The chorus says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All of us, those who have consecrated their life to do the will of God in Christ Jesus, we want to be happy in Christ Jesus. And there's no other way you can be happy unless you trust and obey the laws of righteousness. Verse 2 of the hymn says, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden, as pastor now, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doeth richly repay, not a grief nor a loss, not a thorn nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Verse 4. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Verse 5. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. You see the hymn? The hymn is the Bible itself. If you can be able to stick to the words of this hymn, the rest will be easier for you to run to the end. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says there, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is in that are written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does it mean? Meditate therein. Those who carefully lay up the treasures of divine wisdom, that they may live by them, are those that truly keep the commandments of God. When you live according to the will of God, according to the dictates of God in Christ Jesus, you are keeping his commandments. Then an idea is not literal, but in the sense of making it your guide and director at all times and in all things you are doing. Success there, good success there also for the spiritual Israelites. Success there means making their election, making their calling and election sure. This will appropriate to their obedience. This will be proportionate to their obedience to the divine message. We have to make our calling and election sure, and it's not by the works of mouth, but by being obedient, not to man, but to God in Christ. We are indebted. He bought us with his own precious blood. And we decided to do the will of God in him. So we must be ready to obey. To my understanding, happiness is a product of blessing. Being happy in Christ Jesus is a product of blessing from God. Blessing is a product of trust and obey. That's absolute faith in God and obedience to the laws of righteousness. And obedience itself, trust and absolute faith in God and obedience to the laws of righteousness is a product of wisdom, wisdom of God. Our aim as constituents of God are to inherit his kingdom. Our aims as constituents children of God are to inherit his kingdom or be part of the body of Jesus Christ. We want to be members of the body of Christ Jesus. No one can achieve this without accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. This is the foundation. And I regard those who have consecrated their lives to do the will of God in Christ Jesus as wise people, because they have hope of better life. When you have consecrated your life to do the will of God, it means that you have answered that general call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you answer that call, when you have the spirit to answer that call, it means that you are wise. And not only answer that call, you consecrate your life to do the will of God in Christ Jesus. That means that you are wise. The world of mankind, most people that are living, that doesn't know this. That there is better life. Know that if you believe in Christ Jesus and do his biddings and obey the laws of righteousness, that at the end you will receive the kind of life which no one can think about now. We cannot comprehend what it really is. We are only, as Bible students, we only know the glimpse of what life within itself is. When you have done this, you will be blessed by God in all ramifications. The blessings start from here on earth as it pleases God, and the final reward will be the crown of life at the end of our course in death and resurrection. Remember a popular saying, a popular verse in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We want peace and other good things in this present life, but we must be obedient to the laws of righteousness before we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We sacrifice now because we want a greater reward, heavenly reward. All our sacrifices now is not for fun. There's no person that would like to suffer for anything without a cause. All the sacrifices we are making now, no matter how big or how small it is for a greater reward that we shall receive in due time. Let us see the reward of obedience via wisdom in the book of Proverbs. We are going to marry this discourse with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. After reading it now, we shall make comments on them. The comments may be verse by verse, and we may match some verses together to understand the import of this particular discourse. I read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be hell to thee, and hell to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy praises shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of God, of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than the fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. The memory verse on this particular verses I read now is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In this lesson, wisdom personified stands as an instructor and offers good counsel to such as have an ear to hear and a desire to obey them, as to obey her. Verse 1, to do some analysis on this particular verses we read. Verse 1, wisdom is justified by her children. They show their parentage and reflect their mother's likeness. But to this end, wisdom's laws and commandments must be carefully heeded. Wisdom laws are divine laws, expressed not only in the scriptures, but also in the laws of nature. The children of the light should walk in the light in reference to physical as well as spiritual matters, health, food, cleanliness, clothing, etc. We should match it with obedience to the laws of righteousness, the best part of life. Verse 2, no one of ordinary perception can fail to know that a wise and moderate course in life, in obedience to the divine laws, is beneficial with respect to the life which now is, and also that which is to come. True, many in the prime of life and health do not give heed to wisdom's voice. Many who do give heed are such as are already greatly impaired, having either inherited weaknesses and frailties from the wisdom of their parents, that is, beginning from Adam and Eve, or having neglected the voice of wisdom until retribution overtook them. But even for the impaired, the counsel of wisdom is profitable, as many have proved, and brings with it more of peace than can be found in any other way. Verse 3. How grand the counsel of this verse, how wise, and how necessary to a large development of heart are the graces here mentioned, mercy and truth. No one is truly great, who is mean, faithful, vindictive. Mercy towards others, implying consideration for their feelings, for their failings, and their sufferings, is an enabling grace, a part of the image of God, too largely lost by many. Truth here stands for sincerity, pureness, and uprightness of dealing in all our affairs. Who could be a true noble without this ability of having this quality? Much more is it necessary to every constitution of God. We must possess mercy and truth and apply them in our lives. Bind them above the neck signifies that these are to be esteemed as jewels and ornaments of character, carefully guided from laws and always in sight. That is delightful things. And not only should they be manifest to all as outward graces, but they should be written or engraving in our hearts. Nobility of character, God-likeness, was a part of man's original endowment and was written in his very heart, his natural constitution. But Adamic sin and its resultant separation from God, and now over 6,000 years of degradation, have well obliterated this original divine law from the heart of humanity. So, to the fallen man in general, the evil and selfish and resentful suggestions present themselves instead of mercy and sincerity. But the child of God, the child of wisdom, is to impress and engrave again upon the tables of the heart, that is, in his very character, these graces so generally obliterated due to sin of Adam. This work is at the present time being followed only by those who are in the school of Christ, the little flock. But by and by, the school of Christ will be enlarged, and those who are now pupils will be associated with the great master as teachers and instructors of the world. And then the whole world will be called upon to rewrite in their hearts the original law of righteousness. And all who appreciate the opportunity will be assisted in so doing by the Lord and his servants, as it is written in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 33 and 34, which states, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." At 4, that's Jeremiah at 1, at 4. "And they shall teach no man every, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Verse 4. "Such characters are sure to be pleasing in the sight of God, and are acknowledged even by such persons as are children of darkness, and hate the light, and would say all manner of evil falsely against the children of light. Verse 5. Every matured child of God must learn well and appreciate the sentiment of this verse. Experience has taught him the imperfection of his own judgment in many things, and the fallibility of all human counsel. And he has learned and is still learning to trust the Lord implicitly. In order for us to trust the Lord, a knowledge of his word and the plan of salvation, which it reveals, are very important. The entire trust and confidence, not only in the ability and wisdom of God, but also in his justice and love. Verse 6. It is not only proper that God's children should trust him in their hearts, but also that they should confess and acknowledge him as their Lord and Master in all their affairs. Such as are careful thus to acknowledge the Lord have the assurance that he will direct their paths. Their paths will not be directed in ways most congenial to the fallen nature, nor do they wish to peace. For as already seen, they are desiring and seeking mercy and truth as outward charms, and also as deeply engraving in their inward principles. Verse 7. Nothing is more dangerous to the child of God than self-conceit. It blocks the way to true progress and reformation of heart, and hinders true usefulness to others, and especially usefulness in God's service. For this word declares, God declares in his words, God resisted the proud, but showed mercy and favor to the humble. Instead of self-confidence, wisdom detects a distrustfulness of self, remembering its weaknesses and imperfections, and correspondingly greater reverence for God and reliance upon him, which more than anything else will strengthen and enable us to depart from the evil of our fallen estate. Verse 8. Health, that is, health or vigor to thy muscles, and marrow to the bones, that a figurative expression. This would mean to signify general vitality, figure of mind and body, which certainly are among the blessed results of that proper reverence for the Lord, which leads to us to depart from sin in thought, in word, and deed. Verse 9. Whatever we possess should be made to contribute its part in God's service. Whether our substance consists of a rich endowment of talent or education or influence, its first fruits, its resource, should go to the service of our gracious Heavenly Father. As our Lord said, seek ye first, that is chiefly to serve the kingdom of heaven, and other things shall be added unto you. Verse 10. Whatever our substance, if faithful in its use and in consecrating its best to the cause of God, a blessing will result to us. Whatever you sow, that you shall reap. During the age, God's covenant with the people of Israel was to the effect that faithfulness to him and his laws would bring them temporal prosperity. And the same rule will be in force in the millennium. As in his days, that is millennial age, shall the righteous flourish. But evildoers shall be cut off. Psalm chapter 72, verse 7, and Psalm chapter 37, verse 9. This rule does not apply during this gospel age. However, the meek do not inherit the earth now, nor the righteous in general. Now, the proud are prosperous. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Malachi chapter 3, verse 15. Not only our Lord Jesus and the apostles who honored God with the first fruits of their being, but also many of the household of faith since have not had overflowing barns and wine presses. Chiefly, they have been the poor of this world, rich in faith, yet nevertheless, they have had the finest of the wheat, the purest of the oil, and the best of the wine, as represented in their spiritual nourishment and enrichment. Verses 11 and 12. The trials and difficulties of this present life are not to be esteemed as marks of divine disfavor. No, not at all. If we have become children of God, children of wisdom, under the provided conditions of the new covenant, we are to remember the promises of our Father that all things shall work together to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Reproofs, trials, disciplines should be reminders to us that we are not perfect, that we still have need of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, even with our best efforts, and should lead us to greater diligence in perfecting holiness in the fear, that is reverence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Verses 13 through 17. Let me group them together for time's sake. Wisdom and understanding are not exactly synonymous terms. Wisdom describes more particularly the perception of right and wrong principles and their results and the propriety of following these. Knowledge or understanding refers more particularly to the information and building up of judgment and character as the result of obedience to the voice of wisdom. It is a great blessing and privilege indeed to find wisdom. For few there be that find her in this present time. Wisdom is the light which cometh from above. She is the truth. Her grand exemplification among men was the man Christ Jesus, our Lord, the true light, the light from above. Wisdom is still in the world, as represented in the divine world, the scriptures. But to the majority, it is unseen, unknown, as it is written, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Thank God for the assurance that in due time all the blind eyes shall be opened, and that then the true light, the true wisdom from above shall lighten every man. Then we'll see the truth. They all will see the truth, and all will hear the voice of wisdom, the voice of God, the voice of Christ, the voice of the church, and be privileged to drink at the fountain of wisdom and knowledge. And if they will be obedient to the laws of righteousness, to obtain the full measure of divine favor and blessings as represented in the offer of everlasting life. In the book of Revelation chapter 17, supported this particular view. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But alas, although but few find wisdom now, still fewer heed her voice and purchase the true knowledge and its precious blessings as she directs. Nothing else that can be bought is valuable more than this. Under God's, under wisdom's direction, now not only the silver of truth may be obtained, but the divine nature, as symbolized by gold, and graces of character, as symbolized in precious stones. All these may now be secured by obedience to the laws of righteousness, to her voice, and more. For I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor had entered into the heart of man the things that God has in reservation for them that love him, including everlasting life, heavenly riches, honor, joy, and peace. Remember, as I said, you can only get this particular opportunity to have this when you obtain the wisdom of God. Happiness in Christ Jesus, as I stated earlier in the hymns I read, depends on our obedience to the laws of righteousness. And when you obey God, God will bless you, both spiritually and otherwise. If God blesses you, you will be happy. That's what I analyze here. Happiness is a product of blessing. Why blessing? Is a product of absolute faith, that is trust and obey God. And obedience, trusting God and obeying him, are products of wisdom. If you are not wise, you can't accept Jesus Christ. You can't obey him. You cannot run the race. Running the race faithfully on the end depends on our equality, our ability to obey God until the end, so that we shall inherit the kingdom of God, which we are running for. The references to this particular discourse are obtained from the Holy Bible. The reprints, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, Hymn of Dawn, and the Daily Heavenly Manner. I would like to use this privilege to announce to the brethren worldwide that Nigeria Bible students shall be having their general convention from August 20, 2022. and we invite all to join us. The Zoom link shall be communicated later. May God add his blessings to his words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.